You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
It's draft day, everybody. It's draft day. NFL draft day.
It is finally here, man. A lot of dreams come true tonight, man. It's truly a special night for the guys, the NFL business, and also fans and teams too, man. It's a cool event. I've gotten better at appreciating it. I have. I used to hate it.
I know you did. Don't think we're not going to talk about that. That's kind of how we roll around here.
No doubt.
We got ourselves a bell here for this event.
And it's smiling because it missed you guys yesterday.
There he is.
Let's do it.
The NFL draft, of course, begins officially at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central, and the Steelers will be picking 20th. That's usually around the 10 p.m. range or so, maybe a little bit after that. And, Moan, the excitement level around here for this draft is a little bit different than it's been in the past because it doesn't feel position-specific. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And I know exactly what you mean. It can go in a lot of different ways as it pertains to, legitimately, you might have a situation where best available comes up for the Steelers. You know what I'm saying? You might have a situation where a guy falls so you don't think you're going to have him as far as a wide receiver, which is very possible too, right? Or the right offensive lineman. Needs of this team, wide receiver. Offensive line. You can always go corner again. You can always go interior D-line, although I don't think you're going to go early, right? But those are real needs, and if there's a run on quarterbacks, the quality pushes itself back in the first round, and the dudes you are unsuspecting of being there may be there, DK. That's why it's so intriguing.
It's funny how that works, too. You know, the guy that I wanted to talk to you about today and his draft is a very, very good friend and longtime teammate of yours, and that's David DeCastro, because his draft was, I know, right? The Steelers had him, according to the Steelers, in their top five of that draft class, and there they are just watching him like this, coming down, falling down. And a lot of that, what you just described, applied to that, too, because there's teams that just didn't need guards. They needed quarterbacks. And they just watched Dave. Here comes Dave. Here comes Dave. And then their plans got blown up.
It did.
They didn't need a guard. They had you.
Yes, 100%, man. And that right there was super unique on how this draft can go as it pertains to tackles, cornerbacks, right, for teams that say, oh, man, we may not get this guy and he fall back. But I specifically remember the conversation around it, like, okay, that they were flirting with DeCastro or, you know, that he was high up on the list, or the fact that every team is looking to upgrade. That's one thing about the NFL I try to tell young guys is, at the end of the day, they punch in what they think is going to make them better, and they go that route. It doesn't matter about feelings. If you do good, then they care a little bit. But the fact that you think you're owed something, that is out the window when it comes to the NFL. And like you said, Dave probably should have been, what, top 15 maybe at that time with what he was projected to be. And he somewhat fell into the 20s to the Steelers. And here I was. I remember we were sitting at this steakhouse in Pittsburgh. Me, Pounce, Willie, Ben, and maybe one more person there. I can't forget. I can't remember at the time. We're sitting there eating, having steaks and stuff. And the pick comes in. I never forget being looking at his phone. They got DeCastro. And I was like, F word to myself.
I was going to say, what are they saying around you? Are they going to celebrate? Hey, everybody.
Yeah.
And we just and got a guard.
We got two at the table right now and a center. You know what I'm saying? So it was super. It was, of course, safe face, moan. There's no reason to show no emotions or nothing like that. And my thing was, hey, let's may the best man win.
Let's go.
Let's go. I wasn't going to run away from it. And why would I be mad at him for a decision that they made? And why could I be mad at them, the Steelers, that is, if they have to do what's right for the team at the time? Lo and behold, he was a teammate. And Dave and I are good friends to this day, man. Nothing changed whatsoever. Crazy.
It's funny how that stuff always works out, though, too, because people will get all bent out of shape. What are they going to do with all these guys? And what's going to – it always works itself out. It whether it's injury, performance, a move or whatever.
Contracts
and whatever else here. And in your case, you ended up moving to the side that you would occupy for more than a decade.
And that guy was at dinner, Willie Colon. You know what I'm saying? Like, it all spinning wheels and the game handles itself. By the way, Marquise is in town today too in Nashville. So
is that right?
Yeah, him and Mike are here doing some stuff, man. But I'll see my guy either today or tomorrow at some point in time. But to your point about draft night, though, man, and insane situation. I will say you felt like my heart go into my stomach at that point in time. Like the steak, which was amazing at the time, tasted like potato chips. Plain ones. You know what I'm saying? Not the highly seasoned ones.
The Lay's in the light blue bag.
Yeah, man. The counterfeit. No, I mean, the generic kind, not even the name brand.
Right. The one that just the bag just says potato chips.
Yeah. The ones they do in movies so they don't show labels and brands, right? But that situation could happen tonight. Nobody knows. I saw somebody a second ago put up, Mon, why are they moving around money? Something. We saw Trey Hendrickson, you know, want to be out of Cincinnati. The wide receiver, T. Higgins, I think, wants to be out of Cincinnati.
That's like everybody just wants to be out of Cincinnati.
You know what? You know what, DK? Good, okay. I hope they do send off Trey Hendrickson, man. I don't know what's going to happen. Some people think, man, that I forget who it was, maybe Peter Schrager, one of those NFL.com news breakers was like, they can expect 10 trades tonight. If they expect 10, it's probably going to be none. But I do think there's a situation where we may see at least 4, maybe 5 trades.
Yeah.
And so that's busy movement right there.
Yeah. That's the thing that probably is going to make tonight even more exciting than the actual picks.
Yeah.
I think we have a pretty good idea who the picks are going to be, where they're going to go, especially at the very top end. But when you hear, for example, the Los Angeles Rams going public and saying that they're trying to move into the top 10 because the Rams haven't had a first round pick since 2016. And the Rams are like, they walk into the room going, whoa, what happens here?
Yeah. It's wild to think that they're here right now. But I do think there's a bunch of negotiating through public right now too, DK. I'll be the first one to say that. I think that's the case as it pertains to some of these teams. You got J.J. McCarthy right now telling the world where he's going. He says he's going to the New York Giants. because he understands the coaches there. He knows the install. And all I can think is he's forcing somebody either in front of them or behind them to try to move up. And the NFL league office told them, told him, hey, yeah, you're ours. And all it does is force the team to panic, because that's a real possibility, because they don't somewhat believe in Daniel Jones. Like, those are things that can happen. You also, if I'm not sure if you saw it, DK, of course, you know, I see all this stuff because I'm draft guy. And
you are a draft sense, guy.
In a small sense, okay? You have Xavier Leggett, the projected, he could be a late first round, the second round wide receiver out of South Carolina, goes on record and says, yes, head coach Dave Canales told me if I'm there, I think they're at 32 or 36. At 36, they're drafting me. And you know what head coach Dave Canales said?
No, we're not.
Yeah, we told him.
Oh, he said, yeah.
Him and the other 50 guys that we visited with. They told every guy that. At least that's what he is, either cleaning up or confirming. It's like, yes, we did tell him if he's there at 36 and we pick him. But it was also one of those psychological moments, too. If you're there at 36 and we take you, I think there might have been key words, if you're there at 36. And I said this about J.J. McCarthy, Drake May, and all those other young guys. Man, they will probably have a harsh reality, maybe, of realizing the NFL is a business. There's a lot of play in games. I always kind of say, what, DK? I've said it often. I think the NFL is like the CIA, how they harbor information, yeah, use people against one another to try to get what they want out of either teams, wins. Tonight is the GMs and teams game.
Yeah.
They don't play on the field. Tonight is where they try to see where they can win.
This is their competition. Cool Race comes at us with a fascinating statistic. It says that the hit rate for drafting a center in the first round is 92% over the last 20 years. And the hit is defined as being a player who received a second contracting, something past their rookie year, or their past the rookie contract. Yeah. That's a staggering figure. No matter how you break it down, that tells you that maybe centers are easier to scout or predict. I don't know.
Or when you know there's a really good one, then he's really that
you
good.
You snap him up. Yeah.
Yeah. You don't pass on a really good center, especially when you know that. Like, that is to your point you said a second ago. That's one of those specialty positions that translate, I think, somewhat easier. If you have been a center for high school 2-3 years in college as a starter, mm-hmm, nothing really changes, because you don't have to see guys on every single play. You're somewhat uncovered or have a guy on your edge with help. You're usually one of the smarter players on the field because you got to know as much as the quarterback knows. Technique is always going to be a thing, because there's not a lot of huge, centers. So they sometimes either undersized, they got to be very athletic because they got to snap and move, snap and pull, snap and pass set. So I can understand that being the case. 92%? Yeah. For a first rounder too. And how many first round centers do you have? That's the other thing too. How big of a pool is that?
Yeah. I mean, we've been talking about this for weeks here, but if you're talking about Jackson Powers Johnson, and then after that, you're talking about Zach Frazier, you're talking about, in all honesty here, as far as first round centers go, you're talking about 1.5.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, and I say that respectfully to Frazier, just because he only shows up in about half of the first round mocks, and maybe less than that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, when you're talking about this draft and you're talking about the offensive line, this is what you're talking about. It's tackles. Yeah.
And tackle is, so it's a it's easy to get tricked with tackles, because here's the thing about getting tackles, man. You rely upon, oh, they got to be athletic, they got to look this way, they got to move this way, and then you also just base it upon that, their skill set. And then you say, well, okay, what was their level of competition? Who did they see? And you can justify by saying this and that, and, saying, okay, he does this well, and, hey, I can fix this. That's always what you're thinking, too, when it comes down to tackles. Hey, he gives up a lot of ground right here, I can fix this. Or, hey, he'll lose weight and he'll get a little bit quicker, so we'll mm-hmm. be fine. And some of those things never happen right there. And some guys, man, just don't translate as well as you think they should, because of, you get beat up a little bit more in the NFL. It's longer right. seasons. Guys are quicker, more smarter. There's a lot that goes into it for the tackles. And also this, and I think you got to be smart when you draft in tackles. What scheme are you running and asking them to play in too? Like, that matters. If, again, I always bring up the AFC North. We usually have bigger, more tougher athletic linemen in the AFC North, and you move to, like, the AFC West, and it's a little bit more, hey, finesse, side to side, West Coast offense style of play, until probably Jim Harbaugh gets out there.
We have some amazing questions lined up, and we're going to go through them right after we take this little bit of a break here. But, yeah, there's all kinds of – well, these were just the comments. We're getting to the hey moans here right after we take this – very, very quick break.
No doubt.
Because this will be, in fact, I predict, my only prediction on draft day, the only segment that will actually matter.
Let's hey mo, let's do it.
At DK Pittsburgh Sports, we take pride in coverage that connects our city's fans to their favorite teams. Now, that connection's stronger than ever. Introducing our all-new state-of-the-art app. Find expert inside reporting and original podcasts. Check live box scores. Track the latest stats. Chat it up with our community of thousands of fans, all in one place. The new app from DK Pittsburgh Sports. Coverage that connects.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And welcome back to the Ramon Foster Show special NFL Draft Preview Edition. We have that going on tonight. Guess what else we have going on? We have Larry here at the HQ shop in downtown Pittsburgh, and he wants to ask you a question.
What's up, Larry?
Hey, Ramon, you as excited as everybody else is for this draft?
I am, man. I am. I'm be honest with you. Since January, it's been nothing but draft for the most part. And I'm like, all right, let's get rid of all the lies and get right to who they're actually picking up.
Absolutely. Now, my question is, does it really matter if you're in love with the guy and if he's scheduled for like round two and you just want him in the first, he's your guy.
Yeah.
Do the Steelers look at it that way? Like, draft value is like, no, that's our guy. We're going to get him anyway.
That's a hard question because what the Steelers are picking, I think, is 20. Give me 1 second. They're picking at 20th, and they're also picking at like 51. So that's like 31 other picks in front of you before you get another opportunity, you know? And that right there is where your guy that you think is going to be there may burn you. So I believe that, look, if you like this guy, he fits your team, you got to somewhat say, screw the valuation if he's going to make your team better immediately. The only issue is this, though. You have a few positions of need that could be wide receiver, that could be center, that could be an edge rusher, right?
So which one
do you pick in those moments right there? And who also do you have in-house that can supplement you saying, all right, we'll deal with this guy one more year before having to replace him? So I do believe in going to get your guy. You don't want to be drafted in a position of need all the time. And that's what sucks for the Steelers right now, is they are in about two or three positions of need. And that's hard to replace whenever the talent drops from the first round to the second round, like, depending on the position, dramatically.
So
let's go Zach Frazier, projected second rounder. I'm not taking him if Quinyon Mitchell, a corner, is there. even though I think Zach Frazier is going to do the job, but just the quality of play that Quinyon Mitchell gives you as opposed to where Zach Frazier is on that list makes that like, all right, you guys were a little foolish, and especially if Zach Frazier doesn't work out.
Right, right.
That's where people get fired.
We've seen that.
Yeah, that's where people get fired, man.
Appreciate it, Larry.
Thank you, DK.
All right.
So this draft, man, Dennis has been hot. This is where he's at.
Look at that.
I feel like this is everybody. Dennis is everybody. I'm already out of fingernails. Going to have to find a pencil to chew on real soon. Yes.
That's really good. We have a bunch more questions that are lined up here. I can't wait to read some of these here. Really, really good stuff. Starting off with Stephen, would you rather have Barton in the first or Frazier in the second?
Look at his breakdown as it pertains to Graham Barton. He's been LT. No, he was center freshman year.
Center.
LT. I think he's an interior lineman.
You say he's guard.
I love him as a guard. I would. But you also have two dudes that are in-house already, right, that you believe in, that are already paid too.
Yeah.
Give me Frazier in the second before you take Graham Barton in the first as your starting center.
There we go.
Listen to me, too, real quick. I'm glad to be wrong, okay? If he goes in as your day one center, his snaps are perfect, and he can move side to side laterally and make the job, I'm glad to be wrong.
There you go. There you go. A good one here from our friend Horn. It says, hey, Moan, what do you think the Steelers are doing clearing all that cap space out, buying up or restructuring, I should say, Alex Highsmith's contract, clearing up $7 million?
Man, it's a situation where you stay ready so you ain't got to get ready whenever it's time to make a deal. You said it yesterday, DK. It looked like Omar had a bunch of stuff on his mind and probably was frustrated with how some GM was probably jerking him over as far as the type of deal that he was trying to present to him. Omar's probably just baiting somebody. It's like, I got what you want. I can take him off your hand. We got the money for him.
We have it ready. But we're equipped.
Yes. And I think it was Arizona, I think, recently that said they're not going to talk to anybody until their pick is on the line.
Yeah.
So if you're interested, you better come correct because they know they have their guy at four.
That's it.
Yeah. Tonight we'll show that. And Omar is just ready. So he ain't got to get ready and say, hey, who can we restructure?
Melissa says, hey, Bone, look at her. That's from the soul.
It was.
She says, Moan, what do you think of the possibility of a Brandon Ayuk trade?
Brandon Ayuk trade was good about 2 weeks ago. You know why? Because Amon-Ra St. Brown just signed for over $77 million guaranteed. The market does this. Hey, this is a new ceiling? That is a better ceiling now. I got to get more than him if you think that highly of himself. I love the idea that, hey, the Steelers need somebody in-house. We need – there is a real need for a wide receiver.
There is.
I don't know. You got to understand. You also got to give up a draft pick, whether Omar squeezes him into a third rounder and say, hey, we'll take him off your hands and give him a contract. Too rich. Too rich to give up a first-round draft pick for Brandon Ayuk for this year and the next couple of years. If you can get him for 3, hey, sign me up every day, okay?
We're going to thank a couple of people for bringing in gift subscriptions here. Dwight is coming in with 20. Our barber is in with 5. We have Carrie comes in with 1. I love how Carrie just does it. Carrie's like, there's a real consistency there to the Carrie approach. Rochelle wants to know, not Rochelle, Rochelle.
Rochelle, yeah.
Would either of you have wished that the Steelers would have taken a center instead of Kenny Pickett?
Go ahead. Go ahead. You want to do this, Rochelle?
I don't know. Everybody lives in regrets, but go ahead.
And that's what I was going to say. It's easier to say in hindsight. Everybody was clapping their hands whenever.
Clapping. Kenny, they were dancing out here on Fifth Avenue. It was,
no. So this is, Rochelle, a warning to all people, okay, moving forward for the Steelers, for our team. To say this, sometimes we as fans, we just don't know no better, okay? Kenny, whether it was competition that he ran from or what, I think in hindsight, a better position would have been warranted than it is right now how this unfolded.
Ernest says, hey, Moan, how about Cam is going to be announcing the first-round pick for the Steelers. Pat Freiermuth is going to be announcing the second. How about that?
that's cool. It's only a drive over. Detroit is how far away from Pittsburgh? About 4 or 5 hours, if I'm not mistaken. Not
it depends
far.
On how illegal you feel. But it's like you can make it. See, you can make it. And people who live in Ohio who watch the show are going to know what I'm talking about. When the Steelers are playing the Browns, you can't speed through Ohio. They will. They see every bleeping Pennsylvania plate, mine included. And yep. They'll pull you over if you're going 40 in a 55 zone. Yeah. Okay? Yeah. Just because you have the wrong plate. Yeah. Now, the Steelers and Browns are not playing today in Cleveland, so I'm guessing that you could get up there in about four and change.
Four and some change. Yeah, I think it's super cool. It's representation, man. Cam is going to be on somebody's panel soon as he retire, and Muth is I think this is probably just validation of this is just validation of what he means to the franchise too.
I guess we're taking a picture here.
Taking an op right there.
You want me to look up? She wants me to look up. You know, we're doing a show.
That's the beauty of it, DK.
Chris says, if Brandon Ayuk was available, is he worth the first round pick, kind of the way Minka was from the Dolphins?
No. No. Chris, here's the thing, though. You got to see 3 years of product of good work out of Minka before you had to pay him. Like, I know you want to spend all that money. I think the Steelers are close to $20 million in free cap space right now. There is balance that has to happen there, okay, is what I would tell you. And
there was an age difference, too. I mean, Minka was in his early 20s. Yeah.
I think for Minka. Second or third year?
What a dumb move by Miami. I still don't even give the Steelers credit as much as I do just blame Miami for doing something that dumb.
Look at you going the opposite direction.
It's just so ridiculous. Yeah. It's I can't even.
Not a first, man. It's too rich on a night like tonight.
Mm-hmm. Good one here from HMJ says, hey, Moan, do veteran players dread draft day, knowing that the team is looking for their younger replacement? Do you dread it?
A little bit. I'm going to be honest with you. A little bit. And especially depending on what round they're drafted in. When it was 4th, 5th, 6th rounders and stuff like that, I was like, yeah, we good. But when they go 1, 2, 3, those are guaranteed locks, and those dudes going to get a lot of opportunities to prove the GM right on those situations right there. I'll tell you this, man. This is something I actually told my team I talked to yesterday, my volunteer team, man. People either glad you got your problems or they don't want to hear about them. Y'all got to understand, it is competition. And DK, I think you would probably say it's mostly fair with how Coach Tomlin and his staff do training camp, to where if you survive and you're bad enough, you're going to get an opportunity and a shot to make the 53-man roster.
You mean as a rookie?
No, I'm talking about like the veterans that have guys drafted like in their spot. Like if you're good enough, more times than not.
Oh, just win it out.
Just win it out.
Hold your ground is probably the way that.
Yeah.
Okay. In other words, you don't. And I see what you're saying now.
Yeah.
You don't need to go above and beyond.
No.
You need to be your best self, and you're probably going to hold your ground against somebody who's coming in with all kinds of disadvantages.
Yes. So guys quit on themselves more times than not in those situations for the veterans that are nervous.
Dan Moore is actually a perfect example. I know he's not everybody's favorite guy, but Dan Moore not only held his ground, but genuinely helped nurture and bring along Broderick Jones. The first person that Broderick thanks for everything that happened to him in his rookie year is Dan Moore. Okay. And now all of us want to throw Dan Moore out. I get it.
Dan,
it's the business.
Out with the bathwater, man. Like, yeah. That. So, Dan, man, no, I'm not doing this. I put my attorney suitcase over here as it pertains to Dan Moore, okay? I'm not fighting for him today. I'm done.
Okay.
I'm done.
Okay, I hear that here. Charles comes in and says, hey, Moan, Barton has short arms. How hard is it to kick outside to a tackle in the NFL since he can play center also? I love how when we describe short arms and small hands, like they're like T-Rex, you know, with the little arms that come on the shoulder like this.
It ain't his arms that's going to get him. It's his footwork playing NFL tackle. Like,
that's been your point about him from day one.
I don't care any – like, can he learn center? Heck yes, I think he can and probably do all right with it. It's his footwork that makes him an interior guy, respectfully. And I think he had a solid 40, too. But it just doesn't translate for who he was going up against. It says he can block Myles Garrett on the left side. Like, it wouldn't. Nah. He'll fight, but I don't know if it's what you want to see.
Jermaine standing in line when he says, "Hey, Moan, you got anything left in the tank? Have you ever snapped a football?" I know a team looking for a center here. Have you snapped?
I have, but not live, though. Practice reps I've got, and I think it's time Marquise was hurt, Cody Wallace was hurt or something like that.
And so they had you and James Harrison, and that was it.
Messing around with a DK. It's a tough task, man. I swear. I'm teaching my youngest right now how to snap at times, man. Super cool to watch it grow.
Now, Ben had a problem with centers who had sweaty hands.
Trey Essex. No, he's sweaty ass.
Talked DK. About that. Well, there was sweaty posterior as well. But specifically, he had a thing with sweaty hands. There was somebody, who was it on the roster that had, it wasn't Marquise.
It wasn't Marquise. It was BJ Finney.
BJ Finney had sweaty hands.
Going under the center.
So the ball gets to Ben and he's like, "Man, what am I supposed to do with this? Come on."
Look at it like, "Oh, what is this?"
Well, yeah, you understand. I have to. It's up to me to be precise with this thing.
There's an etiquette to playing center, DK. It is. Like, one, make sure you're clean. And Pounce was a showerer, okay, big time. And he catered to Ben big time in that sense, man.
Wow. I hope that nobody ever referred to him as swamp butt. Jeez.
Yeah, that's why you would see BJ with the towel, like a long towel, so that Ben can wipe his hand.
Wow, this
a dirty, dirty job.
This just nosedived the caliber of this program into all kinds of badness, none of which I'm going to read out loud here.
No, it's just on the screen. That's all.
Yeah, it's something here. Ryan Lytle comes in with 10 gifts to pass out to everybody to try to get you to become a member. Make sure you have your name shows up in green over there. You have access to all kinds of fun emojis and that sort of thing here. We're going to take a couple more today, looking at the ones that I saved here. Darren says that Moan's wearing two hats today. You wearing two hats?
Yeah, I do, man. I actually got to head to Nissan Stadium here in a minute.
All right.
Got some draft coverage tonight, and I also will be watching what Pittsburgh does. I'm live from 6 Central to 10 Central tonight, DK. You got, and then I'm on tomorrow, too, by the way.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah. Well,
on tomorrow.
We're on tomorrow at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Central, and we'll leave everybody with this final thought today, which is that if you put onions in your socks as you sleep, that it will cure stinky feet.
I need to sell that to Willie Colon.
That sounds like something. That's not some crazy Romanian recipe for. Huh? Yeah, that is really, really different.
Yeah.
Chris wants to know. Yeah, is it round one? It's just round one.
Just round one. Yeah, those babies, those divas get their soul night.
Yeah. Somebody else is recommending New Age cologne. How about O de cologne? EAU. Take a shower, says the boss.
Air your feet out.
There's also that. All right, guys. We're cutting it short here because Moan has to take off. Enjoy the draft. Enjoy everything. We will be back tomorrow for a special Friday episode.
Yes, we will. I'm looking forward to it, DK. This will be fun.
I know. Yeah. The whole thing, especially the 10 trades we're getting tonight.
Boy, if we get 10, we're never going to sleep tonight.
No, that is accurate. See everybody tomorrow.
Peace.
All right, I didn't.